The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Know Your Bible program. This program is brought to you each week by the David J. Lewis Evangelistic Association in conjunction with the Churches of Christ. Your speaker is David J. Lewis, the evangelist of the association.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way.
Said, go and preach the word to all the world. The Lord said, go and preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way.
Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, won't it be grand to hear him say,
good evening. This is John David Berlin for the Church of Christ welcoming you to the Know Your Bible program. We thank you for tuning our program in this week. The Churches of Christ in Morenci, Eloy, the Tonto Congregation in Phoenix, and the Church of Christ in Coquille, Oregon, take pleasure in bringing you another message from God's Holy Word. And now here is my grandpa, David J. Lewis.
Thank you, John David. Your grandmother and I are very proud of you. My friends, as lovers of God's Word, I know that you have your Bibles at hand. This evening, we're going to look at Peter's second letter, chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading with verse 12. That's 2 Peter, chapter 1. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of this majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. I want to bring to your attention this evening, in our third part of Christian Possessions, we have a more sure word. There are a lot of words out there these days. Some of them are pretty interesting in the way that they are pretty reliable to live by. There's phrases that I chuckle about because people think they're in the Bible, but they really aren't. One of them is the idea that cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's a true statement, but it's not in the Bible, as I've heard people say. And another one is that people tell me the Bible says God only helps those who help themselves. No, that's not in the Bible either. That comes from Aesop's fables. And there's many other ones. And some of them are actually in the Bible, but if we misuse them and apply them mistakenly, then they're no good either. They're unsure. And sometimes people do that deliberately. They deliberately twist something in the Bible so that they can back up what they want to do anyway, or to rationalize away what they've been doing that was in error. But then again, that's unsure. We're told in the book of Hebrews that if we're going to speak as the oracles of God. Now that means if we're going to speak about God, if we're going to speak about godly things, we need to speak as God has already spoken. Because you see, that's what an oracle is. That word literally means something already stated. And that's what we're told, that when we speak, when we preach about godly things, we need to only say what God has already said. It's not my place to come up with my own doctrine. It's not my place even to look at Scripture and say, ha-ha, I think it ought to mean this, and start teaching what I think it ought to mean. It's amazing how many things in the Bible say exactly what God intended. And that's why I'm fond of saying God said what he meant. And we better be well aware he meant what he said. And this evening, Peter tells us that we don't have to worry about anything else because we have a sure word of prophecy. And he goes back to a very prolific event in the lives of the apostles, because he's going to take us all the way back to the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And the former reformed tax collector wrote, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This is the sure word of prophecy that Peter is talking about when he says that he received it on the mount. It wasn't an interpretation of an Old Testament scripture. It wasn't what one of the rabbis thought. It was Jesus Christ himself being transfiguration and God speaking from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And Peter is referring to that when he says that we have a more sure word of prophecy there in verse 19. He's letting us know that we could depend on what Jesus Christ says. Some of the things Jesus Christ said are most profound. For instance, remember he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 14 and verse 6. This word made sure comes from that vision on Mount that transfigured Jesus Christ. It brought assurance to Peter, James, and John. Remember there when we read it, Peter was so excited about seeing Jesus talk with Moses and Elijah, two of the most prolific and valuable men in the Old Testament, we might say. Definitely they were in the top 10. And Peter is so elated that Jesus is here talking with these men. One of them had been dead for numerous years. The other one never did die. But there again, numerous years before Peter, he was taken up into heaven. So Peter is definitely enthused. And he says, Lord, it's great to be here. Let's build some houses so we can stay here. We'll make one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And that's when God spoke and said, you got to be listening to my son. Nothing is too wonderful in Peter's eyes for one to believe who has seen the glory of God. Remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai originally? He had to have a veil over his face. His countenance was so bright that it scared the average person. And when Jesus was transfigured on that mount, doesn't it say his manner was so white and so glowing and so bright that the apostles were afraid until they saw whom he was talking to? But once he saw that, there was nothing in the rest of Peter's life too good for the Lord. He recognized whom he had seen, the need and value of personally using the word. Peter says we have a more sure word. What was it God said from heaven? After acknowledging that Jesus Christ was his son and letting us know that he was pleased with his son, what did he say? Listen to him. Now, I know the King James says, hear ye him. But I got to tell you, hearing and listening are two separate acts. I used to get punished because my parents and grandparents used to say things like, boy, I know you heard me, but I don't think you were listening. And then they would teach me how to listen more accurately. And there's a lot of times with my own children, and even with my grandsons, I know they heard what I said, but I had to discipline them because I don't think they listened all that close. And it got to the point with my children, when they were older, I could be sitting in my chair working on a radio sermon or maybe watching a ball game on TV. I like to watch the football players and the baseball players. But doing that, I would hear mother trying to get something done by our children. And eventually I would look up and say, hey, do I got to get up? Now the kids are listening. Because you know what they learned earlier on? They didn't want dad to get out of that chair to come make sure they were doing what mom wanted. And I taught my grandboys the same way. John David, who introduces this program, when he was younger, I taught him, you better listen to grandma. Not just hear her, but listen. And that's what listening is. We take it in. We digest it. And we follow it. So when God says, this is my beloved son, listening to him, we need to understand the need to hear what Christ has to say and to listen to it so that we can use it properly. Jesus tells us that it doesn't do any good to hear his word and not obey it. It's like building a house on sand. What's going to happen when the rains come? It's going to come tumbling down because it's not built on a solid foundation. But if you hear his word and follow it, Jesus says you're building on a rock and nothing can shake that foundation out because you are standing on a rock. And remember what he said? He says, upon this rock, I will build my church, there in Matthew chapter 16. We need to understand that Christ is a foundation. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 tells us there's no other foundation that can be laid except that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And we need to recognize that. Jesus promises us that the only way we can be his disciples is to abide in his word. That's what he says in John chapter 8 and verse 31. If you abide in my word, ye are my disciples indeed. And because you're my disciples indeed, he goes on in verse 32 and says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. We need to recognize that. There is not only a need to listen to Christ, but there's personal value when we do that. And Peter goes on to tell us, it's like a light shining in a dark place. We are quite dark in our thinking in so many ways. But the one I want to look at this evening, we are dark in ignorance. Many of us, some of us, been connected with the church for as long as we've lived. Our parents were members, our grandparents were members, but we still don't know the scriptures all that well. It astounds me to the point of almost irritating me when I see some of the things that older Christians, and by that I mean Christians that have been up there in years and been connected with the church for many years, their interpretations of certain Bible scriptures. There are many in the church that misuse plain scriptures, or they've been taught so many times that a scripture means something that they're dark when it comes to that scripture. And a lot of them will not let it go. There's scriptures I've tried to point out to my brethren are being misused. You know what? Doesn't change a thing. They've been using it that way, and they'll continue to use it. They don't understand that the one church the Bible calls noble, the Bereans. If we look at Acts chapter 17, we find something stated about the Bereans. Listen to this. The great physician wrote this. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. In other words, they were ready to listen. They had their mind set. They wanted to know what the word said, but they didn't stop there. They searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. You know what we're being told? They were not only anxious to hear what Paul and the others were preaching about God, they went and looked it up themselves. They searched the scriptures. That's why I try to give you book, chapter, verse for everything I tell you is in the scriptures. So, my friends, you can sit down. You can open your own private Bibles and you can search it out and read what is actually there. And that's what we're told to do, because we are in a dark place and we're waiting until that day star rises in our hearts. We need to take heed, as Peter tells us, and we need to pay attention so that when the light shines on the darkness, we're walking in the light. It's like a light shining in a dark place, Peter tells us. And we need to understand, when you turn on the light, darkness disappears. Suddenly you're enlightened. You're brightened in the word. You know what to do. I have found sometimes I get up in the middle of the night for some reason and walk about the house and it's still dark. I stubbed my toe on that piece of furniture my wife moved after I went to bed. And I didn't know it was there, and I hit that, and man, one time I went into one of the rooms in our church in the old building, and the lights were out. It was dark in there, but I knew where the light switch was. But while I was going to the light switch, I tripped over something and got injured. And to this day, I haven't told anyone in the church how badly I was injured when I fell over a chair. Somebody had sat in the middle of the hall. And I didn't see it when I went down that hallway, and I went right over it topsy-turvy. You know, if that chair had been somewhere else, or the light switch was somewhere else, I wouldn't have been in a dark place. I wouldn't have been injured. We need to realize that's the Lord's word, if we just stay in the light. But many of us don't see God's word that way. We kind of like to dwell in the darkness, proverbially. But Peter says, here again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, 2 Peter rather, chapter 1, verse 19, he says very simply that we need to be doing that until the day star arises, until the day dawn. In other words, we need to keep shining the light in our life, in the dark portions of our life, until the final day is here. Well, that final day is going to come sooner for some than others. Some of us may still be alive when the sky rolls back and the Lord comes. I don't know. Neither do you. The key is, when he comes, are we ready to go? Because you see, when that happens, then we're all going to know the word completely. And we're also going to have it revealed whether we kept that word honestly and sincerely to the best of our ability. You see, the sure word brings some interesting things. It brings conversion. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And unless we do something about it, we will never get anywhere. That's why the Bible tells us if you want to be saved, if you want your sins forgiven, you have to hear the word so that you can obey the gospel and be converted and come from a child of darkness to be translated in the kingdom of light. And there's a lot of things involved in there. It's not just asking Jesus into your heart. It's not just praying for forgiveness. We have got to obey it. We got to hear the word of the Lord. We've got to believe in God the Father and in Christ as the Messiah. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess his blessed name. And yes, we have to be baptized to wash away those sins. The word brings conversion. And if we had more time this evening, we could delve into scriptures for every one of those. But there's three other things the word brings us, being a more sure word of prophecy. It brings us Christian progress. It's knowing the word that helps us to move forward so that we can be a light shining in the world so people are glorifying God, according to Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. We need to look at the word and have this more sure word of prophecy because it helps us to grow in grace. The more we enlighten ourselves and the more we learn this more sure word of prophecy, the stronger Christians we become. We grow in Christ so that we can be doing not only what we should be doing, but setting the proper example for all those who's coming behind us. I've got children. I've got grandchildren. Someday I may have great-grandchildren. But whatever I've got has to be able to look and see Grandpa, Dad, walking in the more sure word. And to only do that, I have to keep growing. Because you know what happens when you stop growing? You start dying. And if you start dying and falling back, you're going to lose everything. Knowing the sure word of promise, of prophecy, brings a homecoming. Someday, according to John chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus Christ is coming back for those who have prepared themselves to go with him. It's a homecoming that you can't match anywhere on this earth. I really like some of our homecoming games of football when I was in high school. And sometimes it's been enjoyable. I've gone to two of them, the high school reunions. I didn't go to the 50th because of wife's illness and the price of gasoline. But that's always been enjoyable times. But when Christ comes for us, those that kept the sure word of prophecy are going to have a homecoming that's not going to be like any worldly high school. We're going to go home. to live with God and his beloved Son for all eternity. That's where we're going. And that's what we should be looking forward to. And I hope that you are. This is David Lewis for the Church of Christ inviting you to visit us this week. In Phoenix, we're located at 1101 West Tonto Street. This is on the corner of 11th Avenue and Buckeye and less than 5 minutes from the freeway. Our day begins at 9:15 a.m. with Bible classes for all ages. This is followed at 10:30 a.m. by a period in which we sing and pray to the glory of God. At 6 o'clock p.m., we gather for another period of worship to God. There are Churches of Christ in your area that are in partnership with this program. For those in the Marinci area, stop by and worship with the Marinci Church of Christ. If you live in the Eloy area, I recommend the Eloy Church of Christ. If you are in Coquille, Oregon, visit the Church of Christ where you are a stranger only once. If you have a Bible question, or I may be of some service to you, please do not hesitate to call upon me at 480-209-6154. I'm at your beck and call anytime, day or night. If you would prefer, you may write to me at 2114 West Apache Trail, Suite 1, number 145 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Our zip code is 85120. If you would like a compact disc of this program, or a CD of any other Bible subject, let your request be known, and I'll send you one at absolutely no cost to you. On October the 8th through the 12th, the Churches of Christ are conducting our annual Arizona Lectureship here in Phoenix. We have one theme for the entire week, with over 50 speakers, each discussing a different aspect of that theme. All are invited and welcome to attend. It's an enjoyable time of edification. Until we meet again at the same time next week, this is David Lewis saying that it is my sincerest wish that the good Lord bless you and keep you.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.